You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, Episode 12. And today I want to talk about how you can actually get predictable results. Even if you've got a team, even if you've got volunteers, even if you like to be creative, how you can leverage systems to get more done and experience more freedom. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, Melanie here, and I'm excited to share with you something that I learned the hard way in my business, and I've found that it's a really challenging one for a lot of my clients, especially the really creative ones, the ones that like to just kind of be in the moment, and that is how we could be using systems to actually get better results from our business and from routine projects and activities that we do all the time. Now, I know systems don't really seem all that sexy, but let me tell you that if you are not using systems, you are working too hard, you're wasting a ton of time. Literally, you are having breakdowns and you are spending time doing things over and over and over again that you could really be more efficient with. And unless you're using systems, there's really no way to guarantee predictable results. So when I discovered that in my own business that I could be using systems to get more done, to make sure that when I was delegating, things were getting done the way I wanted them to be done, I found that my brain shifted away from doing things in the moment to really thinking, how could I create a system so I never have to figure this out again? And, you know, the other day I was making spaghetti for my family, and it's kind of funny how this story relates to systems, but, you know, I think this is how a lot of us creative people are. And so I have a spaghetti sauce that my family loves, and I've gotten to the point where I've done it so many times that I am making the recipe up in my head as I go, right? Now, for some of us, we love that, right? Like, that's where new innovation comes from, and that's where the creative comes from. But let me tell you something funny about my family. I have some picky eaters in my family, and if I don't make it taste the same, they're disappointed, and they're like, why doesn't the spaghetti sauce taste right? So I found the other day when I was making it that I'm sitting there staring at the stoves thinking, what am I forgetting? And, you know, 2 or 3 minutes later, I'm opening the cupboard, I'm looking at the spices, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to put the red wine in. So I always put about 2 tablespoons to 3 tablespoons of Merlot or Cabernet in my sauce, and it's my secret. Oh, I just told you my secret. Okay, that's okay. You'll still love the sauce if you make it, but it's one of the 3 secrets I use to make my sauce taste really good. The other thing was, I couldn't find the Italian sausage that I use. I always use turkey Italian sausage in my sauce with turkey meat. So I don't use red meat, I use turkey meat, and it's part of what gives it a little extra flavor and complexity. Now, why is that important? Because I couldn't find the sausage. I forgot to write it down when I went to the store. I didn't use my system. And my family noticed. They're like, Mom, it's not right, you know. Honey, how come the sauce doesn't taste right? It's because it was not the right formula. And this is what happens all the time in our businesses, is that we do things out of habit. We do things out of our head. We try to remember. We may not get it right. And the result doesn't necessarily match the one that we want or the one that people become accustomed to. And think about when you're delegating that this is actually 10 times worse. Because if your team's doing it out of their head and they actually don't think the way you do, and they may not have all of the things in their mind the way you do, and they're not following a system, God only knows what they're going to create. So systems actually produce freedom to get more done, because you know that when people follow the system, they're going to get pretty close to a predictable result. So many of my clients over the years, since I've been preaching systems, do something along this line. They start to cringe and they just say, oh, Melanie, like, I know I should want to do a system, but just the word, it makes me just cringe. Like, I don't want to limit my creativity. And one of the things that I think is a mindset shift is to recognize that systems produce freedom. Because when you get the routine things done and the places where things break down and you get pulled into putting out a fire or fixing something, If you're following a system or your team's following a system, you're actually going to have more time, more mental bandwidth to do the things that only you can do or the things that bring you joy, because you're not getting trapped into fixing things and recreating the wheel and wasting time on things that a system could actually eliminate all of those issues. And when you're recreating the wheel over and over and over again, you're not actually going to get a predictable result. And it does steal energy away from things that could be your bigger fish to fry. So I want you to maybe go through this episode today thinking about, where have I been holding myself back? Where have I maybe even become the bottleneck? Because I keep recreating the wheel over and over and over again. And where could a system actually produce freedom for me or my team and make our whole business run smoother? So when I started getting into producing systems for my own business, here are some of the questions I used to ask myself. And then I'll give you some examples of some of the best systems that you should create right away. And the first thing is that if something was breaking down, that was a huge red flag, or maybe a white flag, that it was time to create a system. So it's a mistake that keeps getting made. It's not getting done right. There's a breakdown between what you want and what someone else is producing. There's problems in the delivery of something, right? Like, think about, it's causing you angst or your team angst because it's not getting done right over and over and over again. Those are the first places you should be getting a system in place. And I want you to make a list right now as you're listening to this podcast, where things break down, what costs you time, costs you money because it's not working right. The second place is, what's not being done properly by someone else you're delegating to? So this could be a contractor. It could be a team member. It could be a virtual assistant. It could be someone that you work with on a project team. Maybe you're on a volunteer or team or a board somewhere, but someone else is involved in this project and they're not getting it done right or to your preference or desired outcome. So think about all the places where when you hand something off, you're frustrated with what you get back. And this is definitely a place that systems can eliminate that breakdown, which is a breakdown, and the disappointment. And oftentimes I'll have clients come to me to help them make their team perform better. And the first thing I look at is, do they have systems for the areas they're struggling with? And almost always they'll tell me no. If they do have the system and they're still not getting the result, that's a different problem and we can still fix that, but it's just a different part of the problem. Now, the next type of system you can create are things that you do routinely or someone on your team is doing routinely, and they get done all the time the same way, but yet you kind of do it out of your head, kind of like my spaghetti sauce metaphor, where you're always in your head trying to remember all the things that need to be done. This is a great place to have a system to help you remember what needs to get done so you spend less effort remembering and more energy producing the result quickly so you can get back to the things you really want to do. And then the fourth place that I like to look for systems is, what a project that many people are involved in, and they'll need to know what's happening along the way. So think of this as maybe all the people that touch your client, you, your assistant, maybe a customer service manager, a salesperson. If it's just you, then that won't be as big a deal. But if you've got something that happens and multiple people are involved in it, then this is a huge opportunity. I work in two different collaborative teams. I'm the leader of two different boards, basically, or councils in different groups. And I work on one project with multiple people. And what I've noticed is that if the owner or the leader of the company doesn't put a system in, then it's up to me to do that, because my sanity will improve immensely when I'm not chasing the same things and explaining things over and over and over again. So think about, what is a situation where, because there's so many people involved in it, you need to make sure the systems are in place so it's communicated right the first time. Another example of where this can come up is if you're involved in producing events where you've got other people that are coming in that you're not used to working with. So it could be the event producers, it could be speakers, it could be if you host a show of some kind and you have guests coming in and out, you want to think about the systems that would allow you to produce a routine outcome. So let's talk about some of the things that can be systemized that are pretty much across the board, places that you can improve. So I worked with a client a few years ago who had a massive online business. And he did a lot of work with search engine optimization and different facets of online reputation management and helping people get basically found online. And he had several online businesses. He had like five. So you can imagine he's got a lot going on. And one of the things that he came to me, he actually booked a what's called a VIP day where we worked together for an entire day to produce new outcomes for his business. And so one of the big things that came up was that he spent an enormous amount of time with prospects that were not buying. And so for him, his breakdown was, I am wasting countless amount of hours on people that are not ready to buy. How can I use a system to eliminate that so that I'm spending more time with the people who are ready to buy and less time with those people that are kind of in the, you know, slow to buy or maybe just like searching and not even clear what they want as an answer. So we designed a prospect approval process. How would he filter through prospects to make sure that they were actually at the right stage in their decision-making process before he came in and spent time with them? So what we did was we reverse engineered, and this was unique to him, so you'd have to do this for yourself, but we reverse engineered a process where people could only get to him after they had taken some steps. So, for instance, they had opted into something that was of interest to them. They had taken a self-assessment. They had sent in a series of answers to questions he asked in this survey. And then he knew they were far enough along that they were ready. And then before he even got into the car and went to their office, there was a series of questions he or his assistant would ask before the appointment could be booked. And what that did was, is it pre-qualified where that prospect was in the buying process so that if they weren't ready to buy, he could give them other pieces of information. He could give them things to think about before he spent 2 hours in their office trying to, you know, invite them to work in with him in his program. And these are the types of things that waste a lot of people's time. Now, if you don't have that problem, but maybe you're trying to delegate some of the routine activities in your business where clients are coming on board and you can't support them fast enough, then maybe that's the spot that you want to think about creating a system. Could you create a system where someone else is helping you onboard new clients or new customers? And now there's a lot of automation that can be done, but there's also systems like having a checklist of what needs to be done so that your support team can help with a lot of those pieces. Now, there's other places where you might want to have a system, but let's talk about some of the systems that come up for people. One of them is a document, and a document would be like a procedure. So it's a procedure or an outline of what needs to happen. So think about a typical outcome or a typical task or project. How could you create a document that outlines everything that you know about it so that if someone else is coming on board, they would quickly be able to catch up and know what you know? So we use a lot of documents. So if you listen to my 5 favorite productivity tools episode, then you know that one of the big things is that you can use Google Drive to host a lot of these documents and share them and collaborate on them very easily. And it's free. So I love that. And one of the things that I like to do is produce a document for every product or program that we have and put all of the relevant links, all of the relevant information, you know, all of the what's included in there. And if we change things, there's an update, there's revision control that we know that things have changed since we did this the last time, or there's new offerings, or things are changing, or a price point changed, or whatever it might be. And what this does is allows every single person on my team to quickly be able to go find all the relevant information. This is critical if you have customer service reps. This is critical if you have other people selling for you. And if you've got people who manage your programs for you like I do, it's really helpful so you don't have to keep explaining things and you make sure people understand what the client should be getting. Another place that documents can be really helpful, especially what we like to call like a show outline or a show overview. And that is if you host a routine podcast or a radio show of some kind, having a document that explains what your event's about, what your show's about, and what people need to do to prepare, what kind of technology that they might need, especially if they're doing it over virtual VOIP or internet-based radio. You want to have like a description of what they can expect. What that does is the other person can quickly prepare themselves to match your model of success. Because listen, if you're doing a lot of events, you're doing a lot of shows, you're speaking on radio shows all the time or on different stages, you fly in, you drop in, you're like, okay, what do I need to know, right? And that's what you're producing when you create a show overview or a show document. You want them to know everything they need to do to have a successful show and have all the answers. I can't stand it when show hosts don't tell me anything. And I'm like searching for phone numbers and links, like where am I supposed to be? And it's because in their head, they know what's happening, but they forget to update everyone else. And I love this. If you're an event producer, this can be so helpful. Again, a lot of event producers, they've got so much in their head, they forget that, you know, those of us coming in actually could use a little bit of insight into what's going to happen, where are you going to be, what do you need from us, is there any, you know, what's the theme of the show, what are we doing, tell us what you need to know. So create agreements or outlines of what the event's about and who else is speaking and what are the things you can do, what are the things you can't do. This will make sure that the people you have on stage deliver. I recently put this into place for an organization that I work with that has two events a year. And this organization was like flying off the seat of their pants. They never told the guests, you know, they just would tell them on the phone what they need to know. And it was different for one person. They'd forget this over here. You can imagine they weren't getting a predictable result on stage. And it wasn't that it was bad, but it was erratic. And sometimes people were on time, sometimes they weren't. Some people were selling, some people weren't. It just wasn't the level of professionalism that I think was possible for them. So we instituted that and it made a huge difference. So producing documents that outline what to expect, what we need to know can really be a huge time saver. Now, if you're like, how do I create this? Well, the next time you tell somebody, write it down. Have your assistant get on the phone when you're explaining it and take notes. Reverse engineer it. Say, okay, what did I just tell this person? What went wrong? What went right? What did we need to know? Pull it out of your head like that. You will be guaranteed to have really strong systems. Okay, so that's producing a procedure or document that outlines it. Another one that can be super helpful, especially if you need somebody to actually follow a specific approach, is to create a checklist with step-by-step instructions and maybe even screenshots. Think for a lot of us that have technology online, when they do a video that walks you through what you do, that's one version of that. It could also literally be a paper or a document online that has do this, then do this, then do this. You can have a screenshot that shows what it looks like if it's complicated. So my team creates this for me if there's things that they're setting up that I need to know how to do. And if I want them to do things a certain way, we brainstorm that document. Most of the time they create it and I approve it. And what that allows us to do is to make sure we remember to do things. Now, here's why this is so important. Every time you produce something new, if you don't have a checklist of what it should be like, you will forget things. So I find this critical if you set up a lot of new products. What do I need to remember to do the same? Do I need branding? Do I need images? Do I need an image that looks like a product? Do we need a website? You know, what are all the things you're going to need so that the launch of it goes well? And even as simple as setting up a web page. You know, we have some very specific things we do on a web page to make sure it looks a certain way and it functions a certain way and that it can get found on Google. But that doesn't mean my team knows how to do it the way I want to do it. So we created a checklist. Here are all the things that have to be done when you are setting up a web page. So anytime you're not getting a result the way you want or things are forgotten, think, could we create a checklist to make this work better? You can also set up templates. So a template is basically, here's the way we want our emails to go out. Here's the way if you're going to send out to this type of community, which maybe it's everybody that's bought this program, here's the template for how we send those emails out. Here's a template for how I want you to respond to customer service questions like X, Y, and Z. Here's a template of how a Facebook ad should be created. Here's a template for how we produce an ebook, right? So anything you do all the time and you want to look a certain way, consider creating a template. And then the fourth one is forms. Now, forms can be used in a lot of different ways, but I find that if I'm interacting with people about things that I have lots of questions, it's easier if I create a form and then have people complete the form, and then we can pick up any remaining questions. And one of the big ways we use this is for people who are asking me to speak. So right on my contact form, it says, would you like Melanie to speak at your event or your telesummit? Click here to share your request with us. And so it asks them a series of questions that we can evaluate, is this a fit or not, before we even spend time on the phone, and we don't have to do a bunch of back and forth. And if I am going to speak, it allows me to get some clarity very quickly about what remaining questions I have, so I don't waste their time and I can go back to doing other things, but I have all the information I need. So we use forms for a lot of different things. Again, some of these other groups that I lead their teams, we use forms for people to submit that they'd like to be spotlighted, like in WSA, Women Speaker Association. We have forms where people from time to time can say, hey, I'd like to be featured on WSA TV or another type of program that we have, and it collects all the data in one place. Now, I know what it's like to work with people who are not using forms. And I got to tell you, I waste so much time, and I have, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're like, I need your A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm like, well, why did I not know this ahead of time? Forms make you better and make everyone around you better because we know what you need from us. Now, I like to think of systems as doing something once that produces results over and over and over again. So if you're finding in this moment that you're a little overwhelmed by the idea of creating systems, don't try to do them all at once. Make a list of the top two or three of them that could really help you have less wasted time, less costly mistakes, and could actually help you feel more efficient and more productive. Just get two or three of them done at a time. But I like making a list of everything we need and then hitting two or three every couple months so that we can slowly start to build up our systems. So I like systems for all kinds of things. It could be how emails managed, how we do certain marketing efforts, like we talked about client onboarding, prospect pre-qualifying, bookkeeping, how we calendar, how somebody makes even the decision of whether or not they're going to pursue an opportunity. All of these are opportunities for systems. But remember, most important place that systems come in is where you need to get mistakes eliminated and predictable results created. So I'd love to hear from you today on the show. Like, what is it that you are inspired to create a system around? What is it that you're struggling with? You're like, I can't even imagine creating a system. So if you're in the Amplifier Success community, share it. I would love to hear what kind of systems are getting you results and where could you use some systems. And again, all of the links and everything we've talked about today is in the show notes if you would like to come back and catch up on the episode or read through it. It's all there at melaniebenson.com/blog. All right, we'll see you again next week with another great show. And until then, stay inspired.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.